This presentation was recorded at the 2017 Christian School Administration Institute held in Zurich, Ontario. For more information about the Institute, contact Philip Horst at philip.horst.79@gmail.com. That's philip.horst.79@gmail.com.
Glad you are here. Christian greetings. So this is a workshop, so we will certainly be expecting that you help to share. I would like to start with a survey. So raise your hands if you are, I'm going to give you maybe the choices first. There may be more than one that applies to you, so don't feel badly about raising hands twice. So I want to see who is a teaching principal. I'd be interested to see if there's someone that is in a school that he works at least part-time at the school, but doesn't actually teach. He's a principal, more an administrative type of principal, what you might expect to see in a large school. Is there someone who feels they're a novice principal? In other words, they may be a teaching principal, but they're a first-year teacher and they are teaching with, that's how I was when I started, they're teaching with other teachers who have taught for a long time. And is there a board member that acts as the principal? He's not a teacher, he was maybe never a teacher, but because of this, the governing structure of his school, he is appointed as the principal, although he is a school board member, doesn't work at the school. So those are going to be the choices. So raise your hand if you are a teacher and also a principal. So that's what I would have been for many years. So there are a few, teacher and a principal. Raise your hand if you are a non-teaching principal, so you work at the school at least part of the time, but you don't actually teach. Is there someone like that? Might not be, probably isn't. Don't think so. Raise your hand if you feel you're a novice principal. You're a new teacher, and there are a lot of other teachers there that you feel are more experienced and maybe could be doing this job better, but the board has asked you to do it and you're doing your best. Is there someone like that here? Brother Arnold, okay, well, bless you. And we should always feel not, there's certainly a value to never feeling like I'm an overachieving principal. Are you a board member that has been appointed to be principal, though you are not a teacher? Are there some of those here? Okay, we have a mix of those as well. So it's important for us to do our part. So we want to discuss today, what does the principal do? What's his work? So we're going to go through a list of duties. We're going to elaborate on some of them. We're going to look more deeply at them and work together on them. So I looked into Handbook for Creative Teaching, and of course there was a nice list in there. I also looked on I simply Googled responsibilities of a principal and I copied. Something from Richmond Public Schools Administrative Procedures. This is in Virginia. And the reason it has any value is that simply the duties that need to be done in a public school, a lot of those same duties need to be done somehow in our schools too, so that there is a structure and a function of a school. So one of the first duties that we're going to talk about is that, I'd like to read what they wrote. The principal is the administrative and professional leader of the school, and as such, he is directly responsible to the, in this case, superintendent, we would say to the chairman, for its successful operation. The major effect of the principal is the field of educational leadership and supervision, with stress on the improvement of teaching and learning. And I think that's good. There needs to be always a stress on improvement wherever we can. If we aren't focused on improving something, it seems that it, instead of staying the same, it runs downhill. So I'm also involved in dairy farming. We're constantly trying to improve, and I think if we stop to try to improve, if we decide I'm gonna just hold my own from now on, I think cows are pretty good, we'll just try to hold our own, I think it would tend to slide down instead of simply holding its own. So there's always value to be looking for improvement. If we don't, this might be what happens. This was in a farm paper, how math has changed over the years. 1950s, a logger sells a truckload of lumber for $100. His cost of production is 4/5 of the price. What is his profit? So that's the math question. Then in the 1970s, it's changed. A logger sells a truckload of lumber for $100. His cost of production is 4/5 of the price, or $80. What is his profit? It's quite a bit simpler now. The 1990s, a logger sells a truckload of lumber for $100. His cost of production is $80, and his profit is $20. Your assignment, underline the number 20. So most students have success now, very high success rates. In the 2000s, a logger cuts down a beautiful forest because he is selfish and inconsiderate and cares nothing for the habitat of the animals or the preservation of our woodlands. He does this so he can make a profit of $20. What do you think of this way of making a living? How do the birds and squirrels feel as the logger cuts down their homes? There are no wrong answers. Feel free to express your feelings. Example, anger, anxiety, hopelessness, etc. So there are no wrong answers, plus they've given you all the answers too, if you can read. So anyhow, it was meant to be a joke and to poke fun, but there is a point that it is our responsibility as a principal to focus on improvement and excellence and making sure that our schools aren't turning into that type of thing. There's still value in hard work and needing to use the dictionary. So that's our first job. What do you see as things that are going to help promote excellence? Old men that have, whatever, even more white hair than I do, what do you think that we should be teaching in schools now that you had to know when you were young and it's slipping? Maybe it's not slipping. What do you not want to see slip? I know some of your names, and a lot of you have it on your tags there, and I can come look. But the workshop's supposed to have discussion. What's important for us to continue to teach, even in a modern technology age? Pardon me? So oral math. So you mean I ask a question and you process an answer? So how many of you do use calculators in your daily life? Yeah, we do, but we still need to be able to use our head too. I marked some math tests just last night, and so I'll be giving them back on Monday. And it was a section on percentages, and so they did use calculators. Now, they weren't supposed to use the percent button, but they did use calculators. There are going to be some of them that are going to find out that even with the calculator, they still didn't get everything right. We need to understand the concepts. We need to be able to use our heads. So the brother felt oral math is a way to help preserve that or teach that, not preserve it. It's not something we want to preserve. It's something we need to teach. It's simply, it's a foundation not something that's worth preserving, it's something that has to be.
Well, if the answer is correct, but you can't read it.
So we still need to learn neat printing. What about cursive writing? Need to learn cursive writing too. Some of my students ask if may they print. Oh, seniors write. I require cursive writing for quite a bit of their work. Seniors can write. What are some other things that you feel are part of excellence that need to be, that a principal should be making sure continues on? Board members rotate usually, hopefully, more rapidly than principals do. So there can be a value in stability. Hopefully your board rotation is faster than your principal rotation.
The value of a pencil.
And what are the parts of a pencil?
You mean what role does it play?
How can you use a pencil? Just recently, I sent them to the blackboard to work out the ones they had wrong on the board, and then if they were still stuck, they're supposed to come ask me. I was teaching another grade, but no one came to ask me anything. It's almost miraculous how the board works to figure it out. What I was trying to get from him is that the pencil has two parts, a part that writes, and it also has a rubber part that takes off mistakes, and then you try again. So the hard work of fixing a mistake, trying again, not simply copying down the right one or asking the teacher what was the right one. Anything else that you feel, board members, what do you want to see in school? What do you want your principals to teach? What do you want your teachers to teach? Some of you are principals but not actually teaching. What do you want the teachers to ensure is being taught? In what we would call long form or the...
So I tried to teach it, but just the class examples that were in the textbook, I wonder if they got almost all of them a shorter way. And that to me isn't at all achieving. That's good to see that the concept is something real to them rather than just this is the answer, that's what I'm doing for now.
It's understood.
That's right.
The same as most of us, probably with percents, our will goal, our amount plus 13 and hit that percent button. But that is not how I teach it. They need to understand times 1.13 times 0.3 plus whatever the original, you know, there are various things.
Testimony. like to share with them that it's fine to write down what you want to share, your testimony. That's why you went to school. And you can keep it on file, keep it on record. There's nothing wrong with an original writing by a young mind at a time like that.
We need to, and when you do assignments, we need to focus on making sure that we have some original writing, not copy from the world book, or worse yet, cut and paste with a computer. Well, people can cut and paste now and not have written anything on their own. So when a person is reading their writing and they can't pronounce the words that they chose, it looks very suspect. Brother John. Good point. So in our schools, we do use a lot of American published material because that's where the publishers are, and we appreciate their work and their Christian books, and they're excellent. But we do need to understand that there are some differences, and there is additional information that we have to be ensure that we teach. So I'm teaching from Rod and Staff Bible for my first time this year. And while some parts of it are possibly frustrating at the immense workload, but I do really appreciate their heavy emphasis on teaching them how to use concordances and the Bible dictionary and things like that. So that is important to learn to work if any of these students are called to be ministers, and even ones that aren't, but the ability to look things up and to understand how the concordance works will certainly be valuable.
Okay. It's not necessary anymore, is it?
To be able to use a concordance? I recommend you don't use it. It wasn't last night, it was a long time before last night. I certainly have some printed material that I used.
That is becoming very common. Reading off stuff that we got electronically. And it lacks, I'm not commenting on your comment or what your paper. But it, as a general rule, it lacks freshness. You can tell it's a bit like Walmart, McDonald's.
So the studying, the ability to study, and the ability to use electronic study helps appropriately, or avoid them, or whatever that you need to do, but certainly valuable.
It's not the internet, at least it's accurate.
Well, the understanding that fact too, that not everything that you hear, not everything that you read is true. And to be able to question what comes from the questionable sources and yet not question the Bible. See, that's another concern, is that we're taught to question everything, but we don't want to be, we don't question the Bible. Brother Timothy.
Well, I just think we ought to, we're conditioning our children to grow up in a computer age, learn how to operate this computer, but let's not be shocked if the whole, the day comes that the whole system crashes and we go back to what abilities do we have to read and calculate and start over. I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
So my young son, he wondered why would I get the milk producer in the magazine if I could just read it on the computer? Well, very easy answers for that question, but it's a question they had, and it's a question that needs to be answered, and we need to be sure that the children are not misusing computer or simply relying on computer and can't walk anymore. Okay, so supervision of school property. Now there is also school boards. School boards also have a concern about school property, but how the teacher and the principal is there more of the time, and the fact that the one tap in the bathroom be pushed down and it lets water come for a little bit and stops almost immediately, that fact you notice day to day, time to time, and they don't, except maybe Sunday morning at church again, but that's not a day that they can fix it. So school principals are supposed to be relating to the board these things that need to be done at school that we see on a daily basis. When repairs are needed, principals should notify the designated person in the office of the superintendent, they wrote here. I wrote, the principal should kindly remind the board member again at the next meeting then of this tap that needs to be fixed, that when you push on it, it lets water come for a bit and it stops. My board members will be smiling because that's it. Real and current issue that still hasn't been dealt with. And it's on my paper to talk about next board meeting again. I see some other red faces of people that I don't even know. So it's not limited to my school and my own frame of reference. The principal's required to do a lot of paperwork, government paperwork, at least in our school. I'm not sure what you do. One point I had wanted to make is that, I mean, the responsibilities that I found here listed in with that one, and very almost exactly the same as the list of responsibilities in the teacher's book, Handbook for Creative Teaching. And the reason the two responsibilities from a public school and from a Christian school are almost the same is that someone has to do them in a school. If it's to be of any semblance of school, it has to be done by someone. And whether board does some of them or principal does them, they've got to be done. And there is value to looking at a list sometimes, simply to make sure that the things on the list are being done by someone, no matter how you have the jobs broken out. One of the brethren at the back gave me a little bit of warning, that the principal's the one that will get fined if we don't have the paperwork filed correctly. I'm not sure if he was teasing or if that's factual, but I do know that with a charity, I serve on the board of board of directors for a charity, and it is the board of directors that ultimately could be fined or imprisoned if the charity's work wasn't done correctly, so it would make sense that the principal could be the one that is fined if the paperwork isn't filed out properly. It had been mentioned about minutes and how that minutes can save time to what a decision that was made. So here's something I would like to say to principals, is that there's an area that principals need to exercise personal integrity in. Our boards tend to rotate very rapidly, and our principals don't necessarily. I was principal at the one school for 10 years, and so I had quite a few board chairmen. At that time, the way they did it is that you were 3 years on the board, and the third year you were chairman. So I had 10 different chairmen maybe in those 10 years that I was board member, and every 3 years you'd have a completely new batch. So that meant that every 4 years you could ask your question again. Well, not really, but it could mean that if you ask a question, the board nixes the idea. You just wait 4 years till you have a whole new board, then you ask again. So it's an area where principals need to exercise integrity on, but it's another point is that better than minutes can be a policy book, because a problem with minutes is that no one has any clue what month that was decided on, and it takes a long time to go back to try to find a decision. So if a board makes what they feel is an important decision about the direction they want for the school in the future, that should probably be recorded in some policy book that it is quite easy to find. A note of caution in policy books is watch that you don't have an ever rapidly expanding policy book that is sort of like a minute book. No one knows where to find whatever that was decided. Moving to a different responsibility, I would like to discuss this one. Establish and maintain proper relationships between the home, the school, and the community. This is one of the duties that was suggested to these principals that they would have. So I think that there's value in that. How can a principal in a Mennonite, conservative Mennonite Christian school help to have proper relationships between the church and the community, the board, the home, the parents? Maybe we need to break that into smaller bites. So let's first of all talk about relationship between the school and the home. So what would be the principal's role in that area? Between school and home. So the principal has a special role in ensuring there's good communication. The principal, of course, talks with the other teachers first, make sure that everyone knows, and some of the things that they would send out would have been from board direction. Some of them are simply things that happen every year, but we need to be reminded that this is the day. Anything else? Well, not just, of course, there's other things. So let's keep going. Between school and home. What do you want the principal to do? What are you glad your principal does? What do you wish your principal would do?
When I, as a parent, am informed my child needs help, when that's directed at school, the principal refers back to us as parents and it's improved. Part of communication, but it's an essential part of it.
And an ongoing part of it, not simply a no news is good news. Yes.
So are you suggesting if there is a child that needs some more direction and that can be discovered within the teacher principal role at school and the parents involved, that the parents would have a head up before the chairman?
So good question.
Upgrade.
Yes. So I guess I can talk a little bit about what I would tend to do. I would try to. I think ideally, when there's a problem, well, very ideally is that I talk to the child and the problem never happens again. Second best, I would first try talk to the father. And if the problem can be corrected, I think that is good. Now, in our school's constitution, it certainly says that the teacher can refer problems to the school board. And we do, and I have definitely done that, and I have very much appreciated support from the school boards. There is something that is not easy for the school board, though. And that is that, and not even easy for the teachers either. So we have, there's three men on the school board where I'm teaching right now. And two of them have children in school. And two of them have children in my room. And well, I guess the one's not on the board anymore, so his term was up, so he's off the board now. So if we're going to talk, if we're going to deal with certain children then, are we going to start dealing with that one fellow's children now because he's not on the board now? And the one brother's children have sort of diplomatic immunity, and the other one lost that now, so now we can start working on him. So that's a problem that we don't want to have. So when I can, I like to deal with the father about his child, and if we can solve that then, and it doesn't need to go to a higher level, I think that's ideal. The difficulty with boards, and it's something that they simply need to work with, is, but it is my son, your son, or I talk about my son, next year I'm off the board, you're on the board. And we don't do this purposely, I'm not at all suggesting that, but of course, then suddenly now my son's the one that's discussed at board meetings, and it's harder for me to deal with his now because he's also my board chairman. But we need to be able to lay those things aside and work with those things. I'm not sure if I've answered your question at all. I do feel it's best to keep the problems as small as they are and only deal with them at the level that they need to be dealt with. One brother I heard explain this is you use the least amount of force necessary to correct a problem. Now there is a little bit like with medicine in cattle, right? We shouldn't underestimate though and give just small amounts and stop. The animal looks like, it's a bit better now, so I'll stop giving it medicine, and the next time it comes back with a worse bug. And then you end up with something you can't deal with, but nor does it take a sledgehammer to kill a fly. Yes?
From what I've seen from me being a part of a school board, if something comes up and it could have been resolved with the principal and the teacher, with the parent, but we get in on it and we get in a dither, we weren't a part of the discovery of what's going on here. So sometimes we make decisions that are not real good or accurate. And so then you have to be brought up to speed on what's going on, like really what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the inside information. And sometimes we don't make good decisions.
Weaknesses of an entire committee to deal with a problem can be that the committee comes up to a resolution and then each waits for the other person to actually do it. And that doesn't work very well at school because the young boy with the trouble is still gonna come tomorrow. And he doesn't know that the board made a wonderful solution that sometime they might do to help him. As much as is possible, problems need to be dealt with now, right away when they happen, not after the next board meeting, if they remember to do it before the following one. Now, I speak about problems that exist across all schools and all boards. I'm not only referring to my own. It's a little like it is to be currently teaching and have my chairman sitting within arm's length almost of me. I'm glad he's here, though. But these problems are with all schools. It's not unique to my personal experience this year.
Then there's a problem.
Yeah, I agree. Let's really work to encourage the problems to be dealt with from the right, all the steps in between. Don't jump from the bottom of the ladder to try to go to the top. And sometimes it's tempting. It would be so nice to jump to the top, and it could be dealt with so that it will never reoccur. But that's not how it works. It's not how it works with children. Longtime teachers, sometimes we think that these people should know this now. You know, 5 years ago we dealt with that before. Well, 5 years ago none of those were in your room. And it never gets to the place where at church, school, home, wherever, that we have this settled now. This is not a problem anymore. That doesn't happen. I lost my train. I thought of something there. Okay, teacher, yes. So teachers, we get frustrated because there's a little fellow or little girl with a problem. And, you know, the first temptation is sort of wish that their parents would have trained them not to do that. But we need to remember is that it might not be a big problem at home. They might know better at home. But their dad and mom are not there. But you are. And so when that problem shows up at school, I need to deal with it now. It's me at school. That it is I at school who has the responsibility to deal with it now. If the child doesn't respond, then I go to the parent. If the parent doesn't have a good attitude, which is very rare that the parent doesn't have a good attitude, then we go to the board. But we shouldn't go from problem to the board if it didn't first go from the teacher to the child and then from the teacher to the parent, and then only really the problems go to the board. And I guess boards, if your teacher is venting to you about a problem, you should be finding out, have they actually been doing anything about it first, before you go deal with this parent, who maybe doesn't even know that there was an ongoing. Where the boards come in is with ongoing problems. Now, and we do want to stop them before they've been ongoing for years or months, but the 22 is not the first thing you try in the cow. Jonathan. Terrified. So principals, one thing we sometimes do is a younger teacher will come to us in frustration because someone is doing something again. And these problems never happen at a good time, right? And that's how it is at home too. It often doesn't happen when you do have a lot of spare time to deal with it just perfectly. Now the problems happen in a time of stress. And so the younger teachers may come to you in frustration about this. They're busy, something else was going on. One of the children wasn't feeling well, and yet then this class clown fools around on top of things. But so try to try to sand off those rough edges and make sure that the problem's being dealt with in a reasonable amount of force that goes with the problem. And don't beat if a scold, you know, is enough. Just recently, we came in from recess, and then I saw a few of the big boys looking up something in the dictionary, and that right away sends off a warning bell because they're not that studious. And so I found out what I suspected is that they were looking up a word that one of the others had said. And so I passed out papers to them, and I said that I want to know what was said recently. I also want to know what was said by you recently. And don't write down that someone said something unless you heard it. Don't write down what someone told you that someone said. Only write down what you heard, and only write down what you heard in the recent past. If someone said something not good in September and they have never said it since, then they have hopefully thought of it and they're trying to stop. And if they've stopped for that amount of time, and then I think we need to forgive them and go on. What did I find out? Well, I found out that the two who I suspected had the most were the two that were heard the most by the others, but they also both did remember that they said something. And I said, if you said something, then you write down what you said too, and you write sorry. Well, and they did. And so they know now that we're going to be looking at that again in the future to see, are we doing better? Is this stopped? If it doesn't, or if it reoccurs in a public, again, this was not something I heard, but if it reoccurs publicly, or if it doesn't stop, you know, then we need to go to a higher level. But there can be a lot of value in learning how to deal with problems as we're going to have to as an adult. Adults, our problems aren't dealt with by spankings and fines. That's not how they're supposed to be dealt with. They're supposed to be dealt with by conscience and confession, right? Not waiting until I'm caught or in a corner. And I think there can be value in children starting to learn that. The principal needs to be an example of excellence to the other teachers in teaching and learning. It's a good thing for the students to see the teacher looking things up in the dictionary, looking things up in the world book. It's a good thing for the principal to give ideas to younger teachers. You could do this, or this would be a good way to teach that lesson. Younger teachers should come to the principal, who as often as is possible ought to be one of the longer term members of the teaching staff. Now, it's not always possible, but when it is, it should be like that. To ask about, what should I do? How would you teach this? And the principal needs to always be growing and learning. There's a story of a teacher who was replaced by a board, and she protested. She said that why would they get a new teacher that was inexperienced, because she had 8 years of experience, and it was kind of pointed out to her it wasn't really 8 years of experience, it was the first year 8 times. So she wasn't growing. Hold fire drills and submit drill reports promptly. So that is part of the principal's roles in making sure all those nitty-gritty things happen that have to be done. The meetings with other teachers, the schedules, all those nitty-gritty things. Times of emergency. Someone's going to have to jump up to the plate and lead out. And who should that be but the principal most times, certainly if it's an experienced teacher. Make recommendations. Principals may submit recommendations to the board for the appointment, assignment, promotion, transfer, dismissal of all personnel assigned to his or her supervision. Now that's a bit different than our, that's certainly different than our setting normally. But there is value, very much value, in the board talking to the principal about next year, I think. And the principal possibly can give good suggestions of prospective teachers. The principal can give recommendations to the board on school curriculum. I do think a board shouldn't simply bow to every suggestion they get from teaching staff about curriculum and changing curriculum. But on the other hand, I don't think the board is wise to up and make big changes without having consulted the teachers as well, because the teachers ought to know a little better on how it works. So there's a great value in working together. Are there any comments on that or what you've found? Yes.
At Cedarvale, I remember that if there was a turnover of teachers, they would, if it was an experienced teacher, they would all come with their ideas of what they like to teach. And it, so there was a little jockeying and, you know, well, I like to teach this. Well, then sometimes the school board would say, okay, let's introduce this. And then, you know, another teacher comes and finally we decided it's better to have a curriculum committee or someone that with the teachers, you know, decides and sort of a steady course instead of, you know, we add, we subtract, we add, subtract, and it's never anything, no constant.
Yes, and curriculum committee can have a longer term probably than a board does. And maybe you have boards that have longer terms than 3 years, but 3 years is a quite rapid turnover. And you learn some things and your time of service is over. And it might be a while till you're appointed again. Curriculum committee at Fairhaven School there, they have a curriculum committee and it's like an 8-year term. So two brethren are on it, and they're on 4 years as a helper, and then 4 years as the chairman of it. So that gives you at least an 8-year length of service. So now Fairhaven has a teacher that has 30-something years of service. So very invaluable as far as understanding curriculum and books, and the board has leaned heavily on him over the years. But you know, even the oldest will eventually quit. And there needs to be a plan in place. Is there a hand back there? No. Anything else on looking forward in curriculum and things like that with principal and school boards? What have you done at Cornerstone, Brother Arnold? What a principal should do is lay their courses side by side. Let's use the example of social studies. So if you pick and choose from company to company to company, or in science, it's very possible that you would be overemphasizing certain fields and totally neglecting others simply because publisher number one did it in grade 5, publisher number 2 did it in grade 6, publisher number 3 did it in grade 7. So if I pick one book from publisher 1, one from publisher 2, one from publisher 3, we could study South America and South America and South America and never United States. wouldn't make much sense. Wouldn't make much sense to study United States, United States, United States, and never Canada either. And probably doesn't make sense to study Canada, 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 and nothing else. So we need to, and the principal is someone that can work with the curriculum committee and helping them to understand that, to make sure that those courses of study make sense and that they're working well together. An important, important duty of the principal, an important part of making sure that the children are going to be learning as much as we can. There are some very mundane responsibilities that we sometimes don't think of. I like the very last one, though. Perform such other duties as may be assigned by the superintendent pursuant to the rules and regulations of the school board. So we cannot make an all-inclusive list. Sometimes you end up with other duties that weren't planned, that you didn't think of, sticky discipline things. And again, we don't wake up that morning knowing, thankfully, that today is the day. So there needs to be prayer. There needs to be God's grace. There needs to be a working together with other teachers. There needs to be a willingness to call for help. You know, and when you're faced with those things. And I have enjoyed working with many different school board chairmen and school boards and have appreciated them. Some very long-term brethren who were not pushovers and didn't always give me what I wanted, which is good, but they were there to help and supportive. Interesting side note is that this year I'm teaching with a former student who is assuming quite a few of the typical principal responsibilities because of the fact that I don't have a lot of spare time with full-time farming and full-time teaching simultaneously, even with help. I still don't have a lot of spare time. So a former student is doing a lot of the duties. So we have a little bit of a mixed match of principal roles because she was very quick to download the public side of principal work onto me, but she's doing the administrative paperwork side of things. But it's been a very good experience to work with a former student. And her father served many, many years as a school board chairman that I served with, and much appreciated brother who stood strongly by teachers through very difficult times in school at times. And it's just a blessing to be able to see another generation rising up, trying to do what is right and trying to, the work of the school must go on. And parents and teachers ought to have the same goal, and that is to be teaching those children the things they need to learn for life, but also certainly virtues, responsibilities that go with adulthood, like being able to say I'm sorry, being able to correct problems, being able to discuss them without being upset or anger, or without being terrified, as Brother Jonathan had pointed out. I see it's the time that we're supposed to be wrapping things up. Is there anything other duty that you think of a principle that we haven't touched on that we should? Yes.
Thank you.
So these are never easy relation, because there's always some relationship thing somewhere. So whenever we're dealing with children, people problems, we need to know how to lay aside Freundschaft, like family, and speak respectfully without regard to family. Because the way I've been speaking is the principal is sort of the perfect one who never ever has any family problems, never has any, and that's of course not the case either. Sometimes maybe the problem is the principal is the problem. I have a son in school too, and he's being taught by my co-teacher, who was my former student. And you know, my chairman, he has two sons in my room, and a whole lot of the other children are nieces and nephews and things of mine. So you never can get away from relationships. So we need to learn how to see past that and look at people and problems and at correcting problems. But your question about how much information or whatever to share, I don't think we can deal with problems very well ever without sharing all the information. Well, it won't work. But we also do need to, we need to be able to share, like I said, look beyond family. We also need to get out of last year too sometimes. So sometimes we had a problem last year, but if we can, last year's problems need to stay in last year, and we need to work with now and tomorrow as much as we can as well. Sometimes there's not a great amount of value in trying to go back to last year. Maybe it's a reoccurring problem from last year too, though. And if it is, you would need to use wisdom. Brother Jonathan. No, certainly. Yes, keep the communication as open as you can, but still try to deal with things at the appropriate level. One thing I've neglected to mention is that, so if a school board is faced with a problem, or teachers a problem, or they think that the problem is maybe the principal, there is, in our conservative Mennonite schools, there's always still the ministry of the church who can be approached to and can give wisdom from outside of the immediate. Brother Robert. So it doesn't seem too serious to them yet. It's a little like if we have our child away at a babysitter, they can tell us what happened. It doesn't seem quite as bad to you though, because you didn't see it, right? And the next thing, boards, that you need to be aware of is that you can write it down to bring it up next time, but there's a lot of school days between now and next time that Johnny's still going to be there at. That was terrible grammar, but So be ready to deal with problems as well as we can. Work together. God bless.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.